Good morning, everyone. This is a good time to be awake and alive in Jesus. Welcome to our Thursday time together. I have some thoughts in my heart I want to share with you as we spend these brief moments in this early morning hour together. Put the coffee on, or you've already got it at the table, or you're on your way to work. However, it's happening. Let's jump into some good things. I'm George Watkins, and I'm here every morning. If you're new to the broadcast, or you're tuning it in sometime later, check it out and look around. There's other broadcasts you can pull up from the archives. Some good things God's speaking to us in this hour. Encouraging words from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the power and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, the gospel without a revelation of Jesus Christ is not a gospel. That is the gospel, isn't it? We've added a lot of surface to the gospel. When we preach, we'll add our favorite doctrines, we'll add our favorite taboos and our cultural ideas. So the gospel becomes a social thing. I just heard on the news on one of the reports today that a certain denomination has come out. Denomination, a church that preaches or teaches Jesus as the Christ and all the other things, I suppose, they've come out and said that we must stand for abortion. It is our duty as Christians to demand abortion. Well, that's not the gospel. That's additions. That's things that we've tagged on. I suppose Jesus pretty well described the simplicity of it when he said even a child shouldn't miss it or wouldn't get confused when you preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, 10 commandments were given in the Old Testament, and they fouled them up pretty good. And every religion tries to keep some kind of commandments like that. So Jesus comes along and says, okay, fellas, here's two. You can count to two. Love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself. Pretty simple, isn't it? So the revelation of Jesus Christ, what does it include then? If we can't or we shouldn't add all of our favorite additions, what does it include? Well, just want to squeeze out a couple of thoughts out of 1 John, and I want to talk about the flesh, the Word of God becoming flesh and dwelt among us. Let me go to the Mirror Bible. You know I love that translation. I talk about it a lot. If you haven't seen it, you can pull it up on your internet, take a look at it. And I think they still have an app on your Apple phone. Perhaps you can find it there. John 1 and 14. And let me just pick it up here a moment. John 1 and 14 in the Amplified. Suddenly, the invisible, eternal Word takes on physical form. Whoa. I'd like to see that in movie form, or the explosion of that sight. Suddenly, the visible, eternal Word takes on physical form. Now that's kind of like the Word be, that's kind of like what happened when God said, let there be light, or, let the sun and the moon be here and animals and all that. The Word of God became flesh. Now, this goes right down the line of what you and I talk about a lot, about our confession and our declaration and our prophecy. What we declare becomes fleshed out, as we term it. We flesh it out. You get an idea, and they say, okay, let's flesh it out. What does that mean? We're going to add parts, you know, we're going to add the fullness to it. You got a skeleton, you got a diagram, a map. Okay, let's build that and flesh it out. God's word was fleshed out in the manifestation of Jesus Christ on earth. Now catch this. The word of God that you take into your spirit when you read, you're not taking the word of God into your brain. Even though the brain sorts and sends, and you know, the brain is really just a traffic cop. It directs traffic to the right parts of your body. I told you a few weeks ago, you hear with your whole body, because the first thing that's developed is your auto cord that goes and plugs in to every part of your body except your spleen. So when you hear, the sound vibration comes in. Yes, it's registered in your ears. Yes, you read things in your mind because you're, you know, English or Spanish or French. That's whatever you hear, you think. But it really is vibrating and speaking to your whole body. So listen to this. This is good. When the word of God comes into your spirit, it becomes flesh. Just like when God spoke it and Jesus became flesh. Now, how would that translate? The word of God, then, the scripture says that that the word of God has healing in it. It has peace in it. It has restoration in it. It has encouragement in it. All the things that my body and emotions and soul and character, all those things are made up of the living word of God. Now, Jesus, the scripture says, Jesus holds together everything in the universe. He has it held together by the word of his power. So, God the Father, his word is declared. Now, we open the book. I call the Bible the book. We open the Bible, we open the scriptures, we read it, hear it, meditate upon it. It comes to us in various forms anyway. And I know the modern generation turns on their iPhone and reads it. We open the book, and out of the pages of that paper and ink comes living words. The word of God is not just sound and vibrations and articulation in English or Spanish. It is not just that, it is alive, because it comes into us as living word. So just like the word became flesh and dwelt among the disciples and dwelt among the apostles and dwelt among the cities that Jesus moved among, so when we hear the word of God, it becomes living organism. The power and the might of God is transferred in his word. It's a container of life. Amen. The scripture talks about the word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is out of 1 John. When I hear the word, what does Romans 10, 9 and 10 say? It is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, the word that we preach to you, that if you shall confess and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. So salvation includes that whole world of life. The whole structure of life is where salvation abides. Healing, deliverance, all the set free stuff, all the overcoming stuff, all the power in Jesus' name. That's the world of salvation. You don't have that without salvation. So hear it again. Listen to it again. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. It's the word we've preached. So in this case, Paul says, I preached the Word of God, the living Word of God, was translated in vibrations and sounds out of my mouth into your spirit, and the living life of God is in that translation, in that vibration, in that injection, became life to you. And as you speak it out, it ignites and connects to every fiber of your being in the term of zozo, salvation, healed, delivered, made whole. That's something. So that's why we ingest the word, listen to the word, and that's why we listen to the Spirit of God in meditation, so that he can communicate timely words and today words to us. I need a decision. I need to make a choice. I need to make a move. I want to know which way to go. Now, I can open the Bible and do the finger pointing and say, Lord, show it to me in Scripture. Sure, that works. But I believe a more excellent way is to be able to step into his presence and listen to a today word, to your spirit, spirit to spirit. You are connected with him. Come on now. Come on now. You've been saved more than 5 minutes. You need to know this. You need to experience it. You are connected, umbilically tied together. You are married. You've been conceived and born of him. You have his DNA. So, when the word of God is spoken, now how does it come? It comes in a thought, comes in an idea, it comes in an inspiration, it comes in a sense of feeling. I just know this is the way to go. Now, we didn't perhaps see the finger right on the wall, or we didn't see flaming letters in the sky. We didn't perhaps have an angel stand in front of us. That can happen. Happens often, more often than we hear about. But most of the time, it's an inspiration. I'm inspired, or I have an idea. That's the word of God to you. Now, how do you know it's the word of God? There's peace. There's just something about it that I smell heaven in. I can sense the Father in this thing. This is good. Amen. Now, if you're young in the Lord and you're just practicing this, then you need to have spiritual witness, one of your spiritual people in your life. Most often, a good spiritual pastor or a home group leader or your wife or husband, whoever you're connected with in the spirit like that, you need to have a witness. If you're new with this, have your prophecies or your inspirations judged or your dreams surveyed a little bit before you make choices if you're just beginning. But I tell you, as you grow and develop, there will be a muscle that grows in that spiritual exercise, and you will know that you know you've heard from God. So let's go over it again. In this scripture, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of God. Now, the translation of that is, he was begotten of God. He was begotten of God. Powerful stuff. God's eternal thought finds expression in human life. The word became a human being, and we are his address. I like that. He resides in us. God mailed Jesus to earth and found my address. Now, that doesn't sound very biblical, but that sounds practical. We became God's address when he sent his word into earth. And Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. And then we know the conclusion of that through the Pentecostal experience, the Pentecost, at the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God, Jesus, in Holy Ghost form, came in and dwelt in temples made without hands. That's you and me. So let me say it again. God sent Jesus to our address. We became his delivery point, and he came to dwell in hearts and lives of men and women. Now, that tells me then that the same Jesus that raised Christ from the dead, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in me. And if that same Spirit does dwell in me, which it does, then it will quicken my mortal body. That's not just at a death experience. That's through life. As I live my life is quickened. That's why we meditate upon the Word day and night. That's why we take opportunity to worship and sing and testify the things of God, because we have been injected by the hypodermic needle. I know that's way off, but of the Word of God. And it has been put into our bloodstream, into our flesh, and it became flesh and dwelt among us. Now, this last thought before I quit. He became the display of the glory of God. You and I have the privilege and the direct command to release that glory that is in us of truth. The power of God comes, the salvation comes, and it comes with glory. And the glory has an expression. It comes out and it affects people. It affects people. Praise God. My little grandkids love to play with one of my flashlights, and we have to tell them, don't put it in your eyes. It's too bright. Well, the glory of God is bright enough to blind the enemy and awaken the saints. Hallelujah. Bring life to those things, those people around us. All right, 1 John 1:14. I want you to meditate upon this. I want you to see that the Word of God becomes flesh in you. You become the fleshed out. If we are God's representative on earth, and we have come in the form and the place of Jesus, we walk as Jesus walks, and we are here because Jesus has given us command to go in his name, that means his place, then we have the same glory and we have the same Father. So be encouraged today. This is a Thursday. It's a Thursday to explode with the glory of God. Well, I love you all. Thank you for staying with me today. And if you haven't subscribed, do so. Give me a thumbs up. All those good things on the internet. Share it with somebody. Gives us a little more punch on the air. Amen. God's nudging you to send us a gift right down there in the show notes through PayPal or the address below. It will get here. Amen. Well, until tomorrow, which is Friday, we're going to have a good time on Friday morning. I'll see you then. Until then, let the glory of God shine forth through that pretty little face of yours. See ya.